Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. Today, we are talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. It is Tuesday, December 20th of 2022, and in the Book of Revelation, there are seven plagues discussed in the seven plagues prophecy, the focus of our discussion today. But first, a few housekeeping items. I invite you to listen live at 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern time every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Eastern time. We have the live internet broadcast here on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, of our show, Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, this month in December of 2022, analysis and discussion of the seven plagues prophecy with me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole, are happening live on PGN, again on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central Time and on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time. You're encouraged and invited to share your perspective, to pose a question, and to present any prayer requests. You can do that during the live broadcast, or you can text in to our PGN text phone number, which is 1-214-505-8719. So you can share a question for me, your Book of Revelation research scientist. Any question about the Book of Revelation, you can send that 24/7 to our PGN text number. That'll go to Prophet Randy Chandler. He'll share it with me, and I will follow up in a future broadcast. Sometimes I get them live during the broadcast, but if I get them later, I will certainly be excited to receive and respond to your question about the Book of Revelation. And again, our PGN text number is 1-214-505-8719. Also, as you may know, you can listen to our PGM broadcast by going to our website, blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic, or by using your telephone or your internet phone. So the PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. So how does that work? When you call, it connects you to the live internet broadcast. So PGN has many programs that come on, mostly 7 days a week. We're not yet 24/7, but that is the vision, and I'm looking forward to that happening. But often, most days of the week, you can connect to some live program on PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, and always the phone number to call during the live internet broadcast is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, you are in our queue. However, you can call simply for a way to connect and listen to the broadcast. Sometimes you might wish to interact with the PGN host, in this case me, during our broadcast. If you want to do that, when you call, you press 1. If you don't press 1, your phone number simply shows up and you're on the switchboard. If you press 1, it raises your hand in our virtual queue. If you have your hand raised, that lets me know that you want to talk, that either you want to present a prayer request, share your perspective, or ask a question, or maybe some combination of those things. So if you want to do any of those things, you can use our PGN phone number. You can call 1-319-527-6027 during the live broadcast. So this program about the Book of Revelation is on every Tuesday and every Sunday. So on Tuesdays, we start at 4 p.m. Texas time. That's 5 p.m. Eastern time. And on Sundays at high noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I invite you to figure out how to fit this program into your life. That's important because according to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, there is a blessing, there is a special blessing for every person who listens to the prophecies in the book of Revelation. So on this broadcast, I always share what the book of Revelation says. So it's one thing to talk about an interpretation or have a discussion about it. That's very important. But it's another thing to actually hear the word of God and let it minister to you. So we do both on this show. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." So what are the prophecies in it? What's it, the book of Revelation? There are 12 statements of prophecy by my analysis as the book of Revelation research scientist. The book of Revelation has 22 chapters and 12 statements of prophecies. These are 12 documentaries in words of future events, either leading up to, culminating in, or following the second coming of Jesus Christ. So what is Revelation? In this book, the book of Revelation, it's the revealing of Jesus Christ as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings to the whole world. Now, today, there are those who are in Christ who know that Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man, that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh, both the root of David and the offspring of David. There's the mystery of the Godhead. And what is it? What is it? Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. He came at time one as the Lamb of God. He died on the cross, and on the third day, he was resurrected from the dead. He was the firstborn of the dead, the book of Revelation tells us. And all whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life are baptized and share in his death, and therefore will be resurrected in the marriage of the Lamb upon his return. So the resurrection is what we look forward to. So according to Romans, we look forward to the immortality that he promises. And so in Revelation chapter 1, we are told that Jesus Christ is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. So when will he rule? He will rule when he is revealed. He will be revealed at his second coming. And his second coming will include his fighting and winning a war waged in righteousness. That war is the battle of Armageddon. When he wins the Battle of Armageddon, the commencement of his government will begin. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. So when does his government begin? When does Jesus Christ rule the kings of the earth? He rules upon the conclusion of the Battle of Armageddon. He rules when his government begins. He rules the entire earth. The thrones of the government will yield to the government of Jesus Christ. And importantly, unlike the government of Egypt, the government of Greece, the government of Rome, the government, I'm going to pause there, and I will say, moving in time and across time up until today and including tomorrow, these governments are temporary. And in the book of Daniel, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar is shared, and a giant rock comes, and that rock hits the feet of the giant, and it's an indication of what will happen at the return of Jesus Christ. And his mountain, his government, will grow and grow and grow. Its increase will know no end. Now, why do we look forward to the government of Jesus Christ? Because his government will be a government where justice occurs routinely, regularly. His government will be a government of peace. Now, let's talk about peace and crises. There's coming a time of great crisis like the earth has never seen and will never see again once it has ended. That crisis will last for 3.5 years. It is the Great Tribulation described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy in the book of Revelation. Earlier this year in September of 2022, on this program, on September 4th, we began a series of discussions and analyses on the 666 Antichrist prophecy. And on September 8th, on Randy Chandler's show, if you haven't listened to that show on September 8th, I encourage you to listen to it. He began to focus on and talk about the Antichrist and events connected to what was happening in Great Britain and the Queen. And on September 12th, he announced the name of the Antichrist. Have you heard PGN's September 12th, 2022 broadcast? If you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go and to listen to that program. If you only hear one program on PGN ever, I think that's the program that it ought to be. You need to know who the Antichrist is. You need to know what the Great Tribulation is and that it is coming. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic and you look in the archives on September 12th of 2022, Randy Chandler revealed the name of the Antichrist. And so I invite you, I encourage you, I urge you to make sure you hear that program if you didn't hear it. Now today we're talking about the seven plagues prophecy. The Great Tribulation is the wrath of Satan. It's 3.5 years of two things: war waged against Israel and war waged against the saints. In Revelation chapter 12, the 1,260 days prophecy, we see the activities of the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. And in Revelation chapter 13, the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we see the activities of the false prophet, six specific actions that the false prophet will engage in during the Great Tribulation. And we also learn the identity of the mouthpiece for the 10-nation alliance that will dominate economic and political affairs during the Great Tribulation. And we hear about the Antichrist and how he will lead the 10-nation alliance. Now, what happens after the Great Tribulation, which is the wrath of Satan? The wrath of Satan is followed by the wrath of God. We're about to hear the seven plagues prophecy. The wrath of Satan negatively impacts Israel and the saints. The wrath of God negatively impacts those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Satan, those who work under the inspiration, the dominion, the leadership of Satan, specifically the Antichrist and those who have the mark of the beast. So let us hear what happens after the wrath of Satan. It is the wrath of God. It includes seven final plagues, which culminate in a series of activities, including but not limited to the Battle of Armageddon. So let me say that again. The seven plagues culminate with the Battle of Armageddon, and the seventh and final plague includes activities that happen in the Battle of Armageddon but aren't limited to that. So let's talk about and let's hear those plagues. I want to read them to you. In Revelation chapters 15 and 16, we have the seven plagues prophecy. I want to go straight to the full report. So there's the movie trailer and words. If you want the snapshot version of the seven plagues prophecy, the abstract, verses 1 to 8 of chapter 15, give us the highlights, the movie trailer for the seven plagues prophecy. I want to go straight to the full report of the seven plagues prophecy, get to all the details. They appear in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Let's hear the full report, the full movie in words, if you will, for the seven plagues prophecy. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 16, it says, "Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the seven angels, 'Go your ways and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath.' So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth, and horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and everything in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over all water saying, 'You are just, O Holy One, who is and who always was, because you have sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you have given them blood to drink. It is their just reward.' And I heard a voice from the altar saying, 'Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, your judgments are true and just.' Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies toward the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouths of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to all the rulers of the world to gather them for battle against the Lord on that great judgment day of God the Almighty. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready, so they will not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple, saying, "It is finished." Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The great city of Babylon split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with the wine of his fierce wrath, and every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. There was a terrible hailstorm, and hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto the people below. They cursed God because of the terrible plague of the hailstorm. That is the full report of the seven final plagues. And so let's talk about these seven plagues. I want to begin with talking about the seventh and final plague. So notice that it includes, but it's not limited to, the Battle of Armageddon. So there's the marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper. Let's talk about the Battle of Armageddon. It is the marriage supper. So after the marriage of the Lamb, which is the first resurrection, it's followed by the marriage supper. So we have the Great Tribulation. It's followed by the wrath of God, the seven final plagues, which culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. Before the Battle of Armageddon, which is the marriage supper, there's the marriage. That's an important timing. That's a very important timing. Those are secrets that you need to know. Now, we started in Revelation 16. That gives us the timing that explains to us the wrath of God, which happens after the wrath of Satan. When we go into Revelation 17 and 18, that's the purple and scarlet prophecy. It explains what happens after the seventh angel pours out his plague, and that includes the judgment Babylon. That includes the judgment of that city. What happens to what is referred to here as the great city of Babylon? So we're told when the seventh angel pours out his plagues that it splits into three sections, God remembers its sins, and that every island, did you know that the city of Babylon has seven hills and that it has islands? In August of 2023, every program, we're just going to talk about the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. I want to tell you right now that it's about the harlot church and the city where that harlot church is located. And that city has islands, that location. That's part of what happens after the seventh and final plague, the judgment of the city of Babylon. But we're told, and we see here, it's not the only event that happens. So chapters 17 and 18 describe one of the key events that happens with the pouring out of the seventh and final plague. That's the judgment of the harlot church, and its central location is the city of Babylon, the city with seven hills, the city where its spiritual leadership, where the colors of purple and scarlet. What else happens? The Battle of Armageddon happens with the pouring out of the seventh and final plague. Now, let's talk about that. So we see here that thunder crashes, lightning flashes, thunder rolls, and there's a great earthquake. So the seventh trumpet war is the Battle of Armageddon. And the Battle of Armageddon is one of the events that happens after the seventh and final plague is poured out. And the Battle of Armageddon is described in great detail in the Marriage Supper Prophecy. The Marriage Supper Prophecy is, in fact, simply a full report of the Battle of Armageddon. It's the most detailed report of the Battle of Armageddon in the Book of Revelation. It is its focus. It is its focus. So it's called the Marriage Supper Prophecy. So we're talking about the seven final plagues and how one of the actions that happens when the seventh and final plague that pours out is the activities of the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear about that. So when we go to the Marriage Supper Prophecy, I want to briefly share with you what it says about the Battle of Armageddon. It says, starting with verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Let's pause there. Wedding feast. Some translations say the marriage supper. Some translations say the wedding banquet. So I refer to this as the marriage supper prophecy because that's the language used in the Amplified Classic translation, but you could think of it or refer to it as the wedding feast prophecy or the wedding feast of the Lamb prophecy, right? So what are we talking about here? Let's hear what the Bible says. Continuing, then I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he said, no, don't worship me. I'm a servant of God just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Now, a clear witness for Jesus. We're about to hear in this marriage supper prophecy details about the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I'm reading this to unlock secrets of the seventh and final plague. This timing is very important. When Jesus Christ returns, he will fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. Now, when did the first resurrection happen? If the marriage happens before the marriage supper, that means that the first resurrection happens before the Battle of Armageddon. And that means that the first resurrection happened before the seventh and final plague. So you see why it's important for us to connect to this marriage supper prophecy. Now, in verse 9, it says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And in verses 7 and 8, it says, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. Now, who's the bride? The bride includes those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who join Jesus in tangible physical bodies at the time of the resurrection. So when does the marriage happen? When God gets his forever family. When does God get his forever family? When Jesus Christ returns, and as reported in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, those who were on the earth put on our glorified, incorruptible bodies, and those who are in heaven put on their glorified, incorruptible bodies. They do it first, right? Their bodies rise up to meet their spirit and soul, and they put that new body on. They transition from mortality to immortality, from a heavenly body to a perfected, glorified, tangible body. And those of us who remain on the earth, we transition to the same type of body. Now, we're talking about the secrets and the seven final plagues. And what is the timing of this? So it says in the marriage supper prophecy, I want to read it exactly, that we have put on, we have been given an outfit to wear. Let me read it exactly. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. When do we get our outfit? When do we put on our pure white linen outfit? Our wedding outfit. So our wedding outfit is the outfit we wear during the resurrection. At the time of the resurrection, it's our first outfit that we wear for the marriage of the Lamb when we join as the bride of Christ, our groom, God manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. We get an outfit, and it is white. We get that at the marriage of the Lamb, which is the first resurrection. We're told here in the marriage supper prophecy that we've already been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, and that we've prepared ourselves, and that the time has come for the wedding feast. So the wedding feast happens after the wedding, and we already have our outfit on because we wore our outfit to the wedding. Now, let's move to another secret. What exactly is the wedding feast? I've heard a lot of teaching about the wedding feast, and frankly, most of what I heard has been wrong. Now, I don't want to talk about my opinions. I want to talk about the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So let's find out what the Word of God says about the wedding feast. So reading verse 11 to 21, this tells us exactly what the wedding feast is. It says, then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. So this is telling us Jesus Christ is in heaven. Heaven opens. Now what happens? So this is after the marriage. This is after the marriage, because we rose up in the clouds to meet him in the air. And now, after that has happened, heaven opens. It says, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. So the marriage is over. The marriage is over. The first resurrection has happened, and now it's time for the marriage supper. We're about to hear the description. So we're told that Jesus is on a white horse, and he's followed by the armies of heaven, and they're on white horses. Let's continue. Verse 15, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. So he's not coming with chicken and chips. He's not coming with shrimp fried rice or barbecue pork or steak or fried whiting. I'm saying dishes that I like and maybe you like, right? So he's not coming with that. It says, from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He's coming with a weapon. Why is he coming with a weapon? Because he's coming to fight a war waged in righteousness. What war? The Battle of Armageddon. The war to end all wars. The war that will put down the thrones of the governments of this world and establish the government of Jesus Christ that will exist for 1,000 years on this new earth and 1,000 years on this present earth and on the new earth to come. Now let's continue. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God. Now what's the wrath of God? That secret is unleashed in the seven plagues prophecy we heard. The wrath of God is the seven final plagues, and it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. And it says here that Jesus Christ, for the wedding feast, is coming to unleash the wrath of God. Did you hear that? He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. Now, if you were with us earlier this year, you'll remember in the earth reaped prophecy, the earth reaped prophecy refers to the wine press. It tells us in that prophecy that when the wine press happens, there'll be 180 mouths long of blood. But let's stay in this prophecy, but we got a sneak peek of the Battle of Armageddon at the end of the earth reap prophecy, where we're told that when the wine press happens, there'll be 180 mouths of blood. But now we're going to get the full report. We're beyond the sneak peek. We're in the prophecy, the marriage supper prophecy that focuses exclusively on the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear more of these details. In verse 16, it says, on his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So if there's any question in our minds, who is riding this white horse? It's this person right here, the person who has this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. So there's no doubt that it's Jesus Christ. Let's continue. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Let's pause there. Verse 17, I need to read that one more time. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky. Now, the angels don't shout to the men of God. The angels don't shout to the women of God. The angels don't shout to those who have the mark of the beast. The angels shout to the vultures. Now, why is that? Continue in verse 18. It says, come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slaves, small and great. Now, it's starting to make sense. We are not cannibals. I have no desire to eat the flesh of humans. I don't think you do either. But as revealed in the Earth Reap prophecy, in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation, when this great wine press happens, which is the Battle of Armageddon, which is when the cluster of grapes in Israel, the armies of the Antichrist, when they are there to fight Israel, they will be annihilated, and there will be 180 miles of blood. Who's going to clean all that up? The vultures are. And so the wedding banquet, the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage supper is not chicken and French fries dinner, chicken and potatoes, steak and potatoes dinner for you and me and our God. It's a cleanup plan for the carnage that exists after the Battle of Armageddon. Now, don't hang up the phone. Don't cut off the internet because I'm reading the Word of God. Listen, we must look at the Word of God and hear what it says. Let's continue. Verse 19, then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his armies. Let's hear that again. Then I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist. Remember, the beast is the mouthpiece for the beast, which is the 10-nation alliance. That 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy, its mouthpiece is the Antichrist, and he, by extension, is the beast. So it says in verse 19, then I saw the beast, talking about the Antichrist, and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. So picture that, friend. That is a snapshot, a photograph of a future event in a specific location, not Texas, not Washington, D.C., not Geneva, not Mexico City, in a specific location in Israel. The kings of the world and their armies will travel through the dried up path of the river Euphrates, as described in the sixth and final plague prophecy. The sixth and final plague in the seven plagues prophecy is the supernatural drying up of the river Euphrates. And that happens, they think, oh, we're about to take out the 144,000 that remain. That's what they think. They think we're about to take out Israel. We're going to finally claim Jerusalem. That's what they think, because there are many armies within us. And so they think, oh, this little nation, we've been wearing them down for 3.5 years, and finally we're about to take them out. The Antichrist, no doubt, he's hyped and amped and excited, and he has deceived these armies. They think they're going to a glorious, triumphant battle that they're going to win, but they're going to their death. They're going to their death. So they arrive after going through the path of the dried up river Euphrates, which will dry up supernaturally. That's the what happens during the sixth and final plague, supernatural drying up of the river Euphrates. So now here we are. They have arrived in Israel at the Battle of Armageddon, and their armies are gathered to fight against Jesus Christ, who is there, God manifest in the flesh. He's riding a horse, and he has his armies with an S of heaven. Now, what happens? We have just two more verses that tell us exactly what happens at the Battle of Armageddon. Verse 20 says, and the beast, who's the beast? That's the Antichrist, was captured. And with him, the false prophet, who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast. Now, that's important. In the Antichrist prophecy, the 666 Antichrist prophecy in Revelation chapter 13, it tells us the six actions, six of the key actions of the false prophet, who will work in tandem with the Antichrist during the Great Tribulation. So that prophecy identifies the 10-nation alliance and the Antichrist that will lead it. It tells us about some of the activities of the Antichrist. It gives us instructions for the church during the Great Tribulation, and it concludes with telling us two things, the six actions of the false prophet, and it identifies the number of the name of the Antichrist. But what happens to them? So the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we discussed that. If you didn't hear any of the September 22 programs of this broadcast, you can hear them you can hear the podcast from the archive. What happens to them? So they're ruling and reigning and in control of many things, not everything, but many things happening on the earth. But now we've moved beyond the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation, and we're in the wrath of God. We're in the timing of the seven final plagues, which includes the Battle of Armageddon. It culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. So verse 20 says, and the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshiped his statue. Both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. That's the end of the marriage supper prophecy. The next prophecy in the book of Revelation talks about the 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ. It talks about what happens after the Battle of Armageddon. So this is the end right here of the marriage supper prophecy. This is the culmination of the wrath of God. This is the culmination of the Battle of Armageddon, which is included in the actions, the activities following the seventh angel pouring out the seventh and final plague. So what do you need to remember? What do we need to know? We need to know that the seven final plagues culminate with two things: judgment on the city Babylon, and that's described in the purple and scarlet prophecy in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, the beginning of Revelation 19, and the seven final plagues also include the seventh final plague. In addition to the judgment of the great city Babylon, it also includes the Battle of Armageddon. So these seven final plagues are the wrath of God. The timing of the seventh and final plague is very interesting, and I've shared some about that today. I've shared how the wedding feast, the marriage supper, is the Battle of Armageddon, and We see that in Scripture. We see that in Scripture, friend. This is a very important secret. Don't be deceived by those who say, well, when Jesus comes back, we're going to feast. We're going to eat. We're going to have the best steak. I saw one video on YouTube where the person said, I had a dream, and I was at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and there were tables, and he had a wonderful, fantastic dream. To be honest with you, I love the dream that he had. It sounded wonderful and marvelous. And I can't tell you whether his dream reflects a reality that will happen or not, but I can tell you for sure, I can tell you for sure that the wedding feast of the Lamb described in the Bible is not a three-course meal for human beings. It is 180 miles of blood resulting from the great wine press, which will happen to the clusters of grapes, Who are the clusters of grapes? Those are the individuals who have the mark of the beast and who are fighting in the armies of the Antichrist. So the earth reaped prophecy says, hey, when Jesus Christ returns, there'll be the first resurrection. So there's the harvesting of the wheat, and then there's the beginning of the harvesting of the tares, the clusters of grapes. So those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life are the wheat, the good fish, the sheep. The clusters of grapes experience the great wine press. The clusters of grapes who are specifically in Israel, in the armies of the kings of the world, led by the Antichrist. Let's make sure we get this and that we're never, ever deceived about this fact. The wedding feast is the Battle of Armageddon. It is designed as a cleanup plan for a war waged in righteousness by the Son of God, who will ride on a white horse, descending from heaven, followed by the armies of heaven on white horses. They will fight the armies of the Antichrist, and they will be destroyed by the sword that comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say he's coming with the three-course dinner. He's not coming with chicken nuggets. He's not coming with a net so that we can fish and then have a fish dinner. He's coming with a weapon. At time one, he came as a lamb. But at time two, he comes as a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And this war is the war to end all wars. It is immediately followed by the commencement, the beginning of the government of Jesus Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 9, it says, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. Now, we're told that the demonic spirits gathered the rulers and their armies to a place called the Armageddon. And then we're told that when the Battle of Armageddon is about to happen, there'll be thunder crashing and rolling, lightning will flash, there'll be a great earthquake. And in this marriage supper prophecy, we hear the details about what actually happens in the battle. The weapon that will be used to take down the armies is identified. It's a sword, and it comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. He comes with a weapon. Finally, now, after all these people are destroyed, these individuals who have the mark of the beast, these individuals who are under the inspiration of Satan, they are the goats. They are the tares. They are the weeds. They are the bad fish. They are those whose names, unfortunately, are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are those who have taken the mark of the beast and who are in service to the Antichrist as members of the armies, as members of the armies that fight against Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. Two things happen. The first death, so that's when our mortal bodies go into the earth or the sea. We experience the first death. It's really falling asleep. The Bible refers to it over and over again as falling asleep. So all of the armies, the clusters of grapes gathered there in Israel fighting against the armies of God and God himself, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, they experienced the first death. But importantly, the first two of God's five enemies that must be destroyed before we transition to the new earth, the first two experience the second death. Let's hear that in the marriage supper prophecy. It says in verse 19 of, it says that in verse 20 of chapter 19, and the beast was captured and with him the false prophet. And then it says, both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. So that's the second death. The second death is permanent. It is in the outer darkness. It's eternal damnation. It is living with perfect continuity of life, same soul, mind, will, and emotion, same spirit, but devoid of a glorified, perfected body, and not on the earth, but instead in the lake of fire that burns with brimstone. So friend, whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope you've enjoyed today's talk. We're going to continue on Sunday talking about the seven plagues prophecy in the Book of Revelation. I invite you to be with us again on Sunday as well as next Tuesday when we continue our discussion and analysis of the seven plagues prophecy. Make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whatever you do, make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray that according to Jeremiah 33:3, that you call out to God because he promises to show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know. Thank you for listening. Until next time, friends.